This is a manager's mindset.
G'day, James.
Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
Good, man. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
No, that's my pleasure.
Awesome, awesome. How's your day been?
Yeah, good, bud. Good. Pretty busy and productive, but just the usual stuff, so it's good. What about yours?
Yeah, pretty productive myself. It's that sort of end of the month type of stuff and getting it all of the sales orders done and cleaned up and making sure everything's invoiced on time.
So that, yep, get it out the door while you can.
Yeah, exactly.
good to hear.
No, awesome. Recently I've been promoted to product manager at work, and my field of work is electrical. And in terms of like cable and connectors and stuff like that. So I went from being an internal sales to sales rep, and now I'm a product manager.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got promoted roughly about the start of the year or end of last year. And yeah, just noticed that there's a big learning curve, a big jump from being a sales rep to being a product manager, and the different challenges. And I don't know, it was a totally different sort of spin on being a manager, I guess. I didn't know what to expect moving into the role. And then I talked to some other of my colleagues and stuff that are in the same line of work and had the same struggles. So I was like, well, you know, why don't I get some people that are actually been in their roles as managers and leaders, and let's have a discussion with them and see how they've faced those challenges and overcome them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I was hoping you'd have those answers for me tonight, James. So what does your role as a product manager entail? Have you got a team? What kind of role is it?
Yeah, so we have a team of product managers who look after a line of different suppliers. And
yep.
Mine at the moment is looking after the peripheral parts to the cable. So like connectors, ferrules, and all the other type of stuff that you can connect to cable, basically. So
There's
about 6 or 7 suppliers that have just been dumped on my desk. Here you go. This is all yours. Take care of it. With no experience, jump into the deep end and, you know, you'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah. Okay. Understood. Okay. Oh, great.
Being a manager, what's your greatest asset?
I've thought about that. The obvious answer, and you can probably say the stereotypical answer, is the people in the business. And it is true. That's probably the reason why it's such a common answer. You know, when you have a good team around you, that makes you successful. You know, your success is based on their success. So you really have to push to ensure that your team is striving for their best. And in turn, that makes your life a bit easier and your role successful. On the other side of that, I think for me personally, my family is a great asset to me as a manager and as a leader. Trials that you go through with children, being married, those things, I think you can carry a lot of those lessons if you're open to it into your management role. And I also think it gives you a lot of motivation to keep pushing as well. And that's not to say, you know, single people or people that children aren't great managers. Yeah, yes, they are. But for me personally, that is a big help as well. So the people at work are very important, and the people in my home life are very important as well.
Yeah, right. Actually, a big spin on everyone else's take that I've had on the show, the family side of that, that's actually quite nice.
Well, it is important. And as you're probably realising your role a little bit, there are times when you want to sort of go in the corner and rock back and forth, so to speak, and without having that motivation of, you know, I'm here for a reason. I'm here because I love this job. I'm here because I love my family. I'm here for my family. I'm here for the success of this role. You know, those factors combined, you know, your family's dependent on you and your team's dependent on you, really push you and help you get out of those slumps sometimes.
Moving into my next question will be, what you're most passionate about as being a manager?
I have two passions. One of them, once again, is people. I love seeing people come through the ranks. I love seeing people succeed and fulfill their potential. You know, sales success and business success is really great, and they're fun. That's fun, a fun part of the job. I really love seeing people fulfill what they can do. You know, you see gold in someone and try and bring that gold out slowly, and when you see that's a real plus. So that's probably my biggest passion as a manager, seeing people live up to their potentials in my team.
Do you reckon anyone can be a manager?
Everyone?
Yeah.
No.
And why is that?
I think there's different skill sets that people have, and I think what I've seen in my time, I've seen great sales reps become managers because they're great sales reps. And I've seen, you know, in the construction industry, a great plumber become a manager of a business because he was a great plumber, if that makes sense. And
so based on experience?
Based on experience, yeah. So James is out there selling and he's topping every sales rep in the field. There's a general manager position. General manager position, we're going to put James in there. But James might not necessarily be a general manager. James might be suited to where he's at. That's your best fit for James at the moment as the sales manager. And I just believe that people have different strengths, different emotional intelligence levels, and different ways to interact with people. You know, I suppose the point is, in my view, is just because you're a great sales manager doesn't mean you're going to be a great people manager. And just because you're a great people manager doesn't mean you're going to be a great sales manager either. I don't think there's a hierarchy. I just think people need to find where they're good and where they fit and succeed in that role. I've worked with many people that I've even tried to promote that have worked under me. There was one gentleman, for example, he was in a role where it was a mid to senior role, and I was just like, mate, you can step up this role here for you. He said, you know what, this is where I'm good, this is where I'm comfortable, this is what my passion, this is what I enjoy doing, and I just want to stay here. And he stayed there, and he's still there, and he couldn't be happier.
Yeah, right.
So finding your niche, I think, James, is a really big one.
Yeah,
you know, it's not always about getting into that management role, so to speak. Mm. It's finding where you fit and where you're happy and where you best perform.
Do you think a good work culture also plays a part in that?
In finding where you fit?
Yeah.
100%, mate. You need to be around people that will support your decision. If you don't want to take that role that's on offer to you, you need people around you to praise you for the job that you do in your position. Mm. Sometimes people in management look down on everyone else that's beneath them, and even if they do a good job, it's not recognised. But it's still recognising someone's good work continuously and celebrating the wins as a group and having that culture where, you know, the high five, so to speak, are always there for the wins. Doesn't matter what role you're in, even if you're picking an order in the warehouse, you know, people find fulfillment in their job and then they're confident enough to make that decision. I'm happy here, or I don't want to go to that next level, or I do want to go to that next level. They feel comfortable. They don't always feel like they're not good enough, or they, you know, they're only going to be recognised if they go up another rung in the hierarchy or ladder, so to speak. So yeah, culture is a big part of that.
So in saying all that, in terms of management styles, do you tend to sway between management styles?
In the terms that you were using earlier, so I suppose it's more of a democratic type of process. I've learned to be myself, Jane, try and be myself as much as I can, and that's almost opening up that trust between myself and whether it's somebody who reports to me or a co-worker, open up that trust in the business relationship, laying out set tasks. This is what we've got to achieve. How can we achieve it? Sort of the way the conversation goes. But once the trust is sort of broken, then the hand is forced to sort of more go to the autocratic sort of style, you know. So I try to be myself, but sometimes you have to go to the other style when someone doesn't want to come on board, so to speak. And you don't want to go there, but sometimes you have to go there, and that's, I suppose, when I start blending styles or trying to bring something in. But I have tried the different management styles out there, and one thing I've learned, and a CEO I worked under in my last business really encouraged me to just be yourself. When you're genuine and you're honest with people and you're clear with your directives and what we're trying to achieve and get their buy-in, that's all you need to do.
Yeah, right. What type of qualities make a good manager?
I think emotional intelligence is really important, and that's something that I'm learning daily. I thought I had great EQ until I got it tested once, and I thought, oh, well, it's really not as good as I thought it was. So emotional intelligence is important. The ability to have tough conversations. And then that doesn't necessarily mean disciplinary. They're just sort of giving instructions to people. Sometimes it's easy. Giving instructions to people who were once your colleague and now you're their manager isn't easy. And you need to learn how to have those direct conversations about goals and what you were trying to achieve. So I think emotional intelligence, being able to have tough conversations, being able to manage people, which is a broad umbrella, yeah, but being able to manage people is really important as well. And also having that business acumen. While all that's going on and you're looking after your team and your people and making sure everyone's going in the same direction, you also got to make your business successful amongst all of that, because that's ultimately what everyone's there for.
What about in terms of training courses, i.e. team leadership courses or management courses? Do you see that as being key, or is that more of an experience thing as, you know, you learn as you grow within the role, or would you encourage it?
I would encourage any sort of extra learning that anyone could do. I'm still doing it myself, you know. I think with people, it's an experience. Yes, it's sort of HR stuff you can study, which I have in some of the courses I've done, which is great for the theory side of it. But dealing with people is just dealing with people. Extra courses for the business side of things is good, especially for financial. It's very important when you're in those managerial roles to understand how the money moves in and out of the business and why do we have to write off stock that's been on the shelf for 3 years. You know, understanding those things is important. You need a good head start if you understand it before you get into a manager role.
Yeah.
James, I'd probably just encourage you with A, don't be intimidated, and B, you know, sometimes you have to forge your own path a little bit. And, you know, I think there could be this perception that, you know, the person I'm replacing, there's huge shoes to fill and I'll never live up to where they are. And understandably, there's huge shoes to fill with the man when they're 20 years, you know. So if he's not invested in you in the sense of being around and supporting you during this handover period, well, I think the writing's on the wall that you need to take action into your own hands, lean on, you know, network within your own business. Ask other people within the business for advice, and don't, my advice in that scenario wouldn't necessarily be going there and say, so-and-so's not helping me, can you help me? Just ask some questions, some key questions that are going, you know, one question that will give you 5 minutes, so to speak, and really try and draw knowledge from throughout the business. Google is a great teacher. Yes. You know, get on Google, try to understand some things about parts of your role that might be universal throughout our product manager's role. Read some blogs, you know, do what you're doing now. Sort of forge your own path. I suppose that's the way you have to do it. He's left you with no other option.
Yeah.
You know?
There was a great meme I saw this morning where it said, Google is your mum.
Well, I'm doing now, Google is my Excel teacher probably every second day. Yeah, I'd love to do this in the spreadsheet. I'll just Google it and it tells you how to do it and it's great.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I apply Google to a lot of the stuff that I do within my own life. That's actually well said by you. It's one thing I don't do is Google that type of stuff. You know, these type of questions, how to be a better manager, how to learn the skill of being leadership. And that's actually really good advice. You know, it's there on Google to see. It's just a matter of taking the time to
read and learn from it. What I found with the whole Google thing as well, because I've done a lot of it when I first got into management roles, because I was in a similar position to yourself. What I found with it, you'll have 5 different articles speaking about the same thing with 5 different points of view and different opinions. Mm-hmm. And I learned to just use the phrase, chew the meat, spit out the bones. You know, read all the articles and don't try and master all of them and go, you know, which one sits best with me? And sometimes you might not know because it's a technical aspect, but, you know, what gives you the right gut feel as well when you're talking about how to lead people and how would I like to be led. You know what? I like what this article's saying. I'm gonna give this a run. Because ultimately, James, you're forming your own brand. You've got to make your own brand. You don't want to be a clone of the person you're replacing. You don't want to be a clone of your manager. You want to take the good from wherever you see it, and you know, take a little bit from this conversation and the next one you'll have, and take a little bit from everyone and make your own brand.
It's really inspiring to hear that.
You'll be able to do it, mate. And I say that stuff because I myself, as a manager, every time I got put into a promotional role, a role I got promoted into, or a more senior role, I was always in the deep end, and I was always like, I'm waiting for the tap on the shoulder and someone saying, what are you doing here, mate? You know what I mean? So I've made sure that I've learned as much as I could. I've do the extra work. If I thought I've given it 100%, I'll try and give it that extra 10% in everything I do, everything I read, research that I do, and just try to learn yourself as much as you can.
One of the best ways to learn is being thrown in the deep end, isn't it?
100%, mate. And that's sometimes that's where, and because that's how I've learned in my management career, I think, that's where I thrive the most in my performance on a personal level at work, is when I've got a lot of deadlines, what the pressure's on, I'm in the deep end, something's a little bit out of my knowledge bank, and I really have to stretch to make it happen. That's where I think I perform my best. And I think that's because that's how I've learned over the years.
Do you feel like the managers and leaders is changing from what it was, say, like 20 years ago to what it is now?
It's hard to say because I haven't had too much training. As I said, I was in a similar position to you in a lot of the management roles that I've had. So I've been thrown in the deep end. In regards to the style of managing, I think it's changing. It's moved a lot more towards, you know, sort of the leaders eat last. I know that's been around for a long time, sort of in more in army sort of scenarios, that sort of leadership. Commercially, I think people become more and more of an asset. And I think that's because the world's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and people have more and more options, you know, and you have to make sure that your team is engaged and is on the bus with you. And so I think the management's changed that way, whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, from what I hear anyway, I'm not that old, but what I hear is very top-down sort of, you know, you do this or you don't do it, and if you don't do it, you lose your job, and that's probably not that many jobs around. There was seek.com back then. You'd have to wait for Sunday's paper before you look for another job.
It's in an instant, you know, you just go online and it's like, find me a job. Oh, here we go. There's 500 of them. They're instant right in front of your face.
Yeah, and I suppose as a society, we become more empathetic to people and how they feel, and we want people to be happy, we want people to be comfortable in all aspects of their life, and that includes work. And we've come to realise through that empathy that also breeds success in a business and an organisation through its culture.
Just to sum it up, Jonathan, in your opinion, what does it mean to be a successful leader?
I think that's the term I used before. I think Silence Select says it is that leaders eat last. I think it's really important to try and put the team first, whether they see it or not. Try and make sure that your team's successful. Try and pull the gold out of your team members, and you will see the fruit of that. You will see the fruit out later. And I've seen it with, I've been through that, and I've seen it with my own eyes. So be the humble leader that gets buy-in from the team, tries to make the team succeed, and makes those tough calls behind the scenes to ensure that your team's protected and successful. And the hard part we had on the side note, James, is a lot of the time the team don't see you doing that. They don't see the sort of sacrifice, for lack of a better term, you put in behind the scenes to ensure that they're safe and they're successful. Some people even take it the wrong way that you're not doing anything. And it's like, well, I'm doing a lot. You just don't see what I'm doing. That's the key, I think. If you showboat about it, if I help James, but then I tell James about how much I helped him for the next 3 weeks, well, it's not really help, is it? So be humble.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Jonathan, well, thanks a lot for being on the podcast tonight. I really appreciate your feedback and insights of what it's like to be a manager, and hopefully one day we can get you back on here.
My pleasure, mate. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem, Jonathan. You have a good night.
You too, mate. Talk to you.
Thanks. Bye.
Hi, it's James here. Thanks, guys, for listening. Please share the podcast and make sure you've subscribed.